Thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange. We are always glad when you're here with us. And if you'd like to take part in the conversation, well, that's what programs like First Friday Arts are designed for. Join us at 800-838-3760 by phone. We'll certainly want to hear from you in the hour ahead if you know of arts events coming to your community in December and January. This, the first Friday of the month, triggers the return of our First Friday Arts segment. Whether it's song or dance or theater or art hanging on the walls, here's your chance to get your event on the air. Since the first Friday in January falls on the first, we won't have the segment in a month. So let's hear your December and January events. Then we'll meet our first Friday featured guest, musician and storyteller Kevin Carr, who's standing by with a couple of fairly radical-looking instruments here. We'll get to Kevin in a few minutes. First, let's go to Catherine. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on First Friday Arts.
Hi, it's great to be here. I know there are a lot of performances around about Scrooge that are going to be happening this month, but we have one that tells a story about his dead partner. On Wednesday, December 16th, Doug Rao will reprise his popular reading of Jacob Marley's Christmas Carol as a benefit for Ashland at Home. And this reading will begin at 7:30 with the doors opening at 7. We'll have entertainment by pianist Charlie Pagani, and refreshments will be served before the program and during intermission. And it'll be held at the Temple Emek Shalom at 1800 East Main Street in Ashland. Tickets are $15 and on sale at Paddington Station and at the door. A lot of people in the area have heard Doug's performance of this Tom Mueller story that imagines how Jacob Marley, who, as Dickens said, was dead to begin with, might seek his own redemption by redeeming his partner, Ebenezer Scrooge. So again, it's going to be on Wednesday, December 16th, for the Jacob Marley Christmas Carol at a benefit for Ashland at Home. Tickets are $15 and available at Paddington Station and at the door.
And one performance only?
One performance only, yes.
All right, 7:30 Wednesday the 16th at Temple Emek Shalom in Ashland. Thanks for that, Catherine. Appreciate
it. Thanks a lot.
All right, take care. Let's go to Livia at the Camelot Theater in Talent. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on our First Friday Arts segment.
Thank you so much, Jeffrey. And as usual, we have a lot going on at Camelot. We have the Pulitzer Prize-winning musical, Oklahoma, running through January 10th. And then in January 14th through 24, we have our first spotlight of the 2016 season, Spotlight on Simon and Garfunkel.
Ooh, that sounds tricky. Let's hear a little bit of Oklahoma first, actually, because you did send a clip ahead. We always
yes,
let
we
people
did.
Send audio clips ahead. So this is Grace Peetz as Laurie singing Many a New Day.
Why should a woman who is healthy and strong blubber like a baby if a man goes away? A weeping and a wailing how he's done her wrong. That's one thing you'll never hear me say. Never gonna think that the man I lose is the only man among men. I'll snap my fingers to show I don't care. I'll buy me a brand new dress to wear. I'll spread my neck and I'll brush my hair and start all over again.
As Laurie singing Many a New Day from Oklahoma, playing now at the Camelot Theater in Talent. Livia's on the line with us on our First Friday Arts segment. This plays until January 10th, Livia?
Yes, and the month of December, it's Tuesday through Saturdays at 8, Sunday matinees at 2, and Sunday matinees are almost gone. We do a special Christmas Eve matinee. That's a 2 o'clock show. You're out by 5. And then in January, we switch to our usual schedule, which is Thursday through Saturdays at 8, Sundays at 2. It's an incredible production. The voices, the dancing, and Rebecca Campbell, who directed and choreographed it, you know, she's following in the footsteps of Agnes DeMille, and no one will be disappointed with what they're going to see. The minute that Nathan Monks, who sings Curly, opens the door and starts walking down the aisle singing, Oh, What a Beautiful Morning, we're not in Talent anymore. We are in Oklahoma.
So tell us about the Simon and Garfunkel show coming up January 13th through 24th, you said?
Yes, yes, and we have the wonderful David King Gabriel and Eric Connolly singing the iconic Simon and Garfunkel duets and the solos with a script by Catherine Noah and arrangements and accompaniment by Don Harris. We'll have about 5 musicians in that spotlight. And Oklahoma's got an orchestra of 6 backstage, including violin and trumpet. So we always use our live musicians because there's so many wonderful ones in the Valley.
All right. Well, musicians appreciate that, I'm sure, and the audience does as well. So Oklahoma through January 10th at the Camelot Theater, Simon and Garfunkel starting the 13th of January and running through the 24th, you said?
I think it's the 14th through the 24th. 14th. Put my glasses back on. Yeah, 14th through the 24th. And just a heads up, we just closed Spotlight on Carole King. There were only 5 empty seats for the entire run, so people may want to get their tickets to both Oklahoma and Simon and Garfunkel as quick as they can. And that's CamelotTheater.org or 541-535-5250.
All right, Olivia, always good to hear from you on First Friday Arts. Let's go to Barbara at the Liberty Arts Gallery in Yreka. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on our First Friday Arts segment.
Oh, thank you very much. Exciting things going on everywhere. Well, in Yreka tonight, due to the terrific response to Liberty Arts Gallery's call for entries, we have our opening night tonight for 12 by 12, and we have over 65 pieces of original art. And each piece measures 12 inches by 12 inches, so that makes it very acceptable for artistic one-of-a-kind gifts. And it's in all mediums, collage, paintings, photos, prints, assemblage, and all are priced at $60, with 70% going to Liberty Arts. And this coincides with Old Town Yreka's Night of Lights, so it should be a very twinkly, sparkly experience. And this has been quoted as a spectacular mosaic of color and texture, this exhibit, which runs until December 31st. That's at 108 West Minor Street, Yreka. And then at the same gallery, Liberty Arts, beginning on January the 8th, we have, through to February 12th, we have two prominent Bay Area modern visual artists, Mel Lyons and James Melchett. And this will be featuring drawings and sculptures, large and small.
All right, so all kinds of things going on at Liberty Arts Gallery. 12 by 12 opens what time tonight?
That opens tonight. Our opening is from 5 till 7 p.m., but there'll be lots of things going on Minor Street. Even if it's raining, it's going to look very sparkly and twinkly and be lots of fun. There'll be refreshments and warm things to drink, so we hope people will come and visit and maybe take home a piece of art. As soon as you buy it, you can take it.
All right, Liberty Arts Gallery in Yreka, 108 West Minor Street. Barbara, thanks for joining us today once again on the Jefferson Exchange. Let's move on to Scott in not sure where, Siskiyou Singers, it looks like, is what we're talking about here. Welcome, Scott, to the First Friday Arts segment.
Hi. I just wanted to let your audience know that Siskiyou Singers is going to be performing its winter concert entitled Make a Joyful Noise next weekend, Friday through Saturday, December 11th through 13th. At the SOU Music Recital Hall. It will be Friday at 7:30 in the evening, Saturday and Sunday at 3 in the afternoon. We're featuring performances of Leonard Bernstein's Chichester Psalms and selections from John Rutter's Psalm Fest, as well as a broad range of holiday music, both familiar and new, that I think our audience will really enjoy. Tickets are $15. They're available at the Music Coop, Paddington Station, or the Grocery Outlet in Medford, or online at www.siskiyousingers.org. And I also wanted to mention that a small ensemble of members of Siskiyou Singers called Second Wind is going to be performing tonight at the Art and Soul Gallery at 247 East Main from 5 to 8 p.m. for First Friday Art Walk. Just doing some holiday music, so if people drop in and hear us, we'd enjoy that. And on Sunday, December 6th, members of Siskiyou Singers are going to be providing music at Barnes & Noble in Medford from 11 till 3.
Okay, so little ensembles of the Siskiyou Singers staying busy during the holiday season, and then the big concert December 11th, 12th, and 13th?
That's right.
All right, thanks so much for calling. Appreciate it, Scott. Let's go to Ellen at Ashland Artworks. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on First Friday Arts.
Hi, thanks for this opportunity. I'm Ellen at Ashland Artworks on Oak Street in the Railroad District, and we are preparing for our First Friday guests and hope that people will bring their shopping list. We have 5 galleries, and our 15 artists have made many works ready to help people complete their shopping. Come in for edible art as well. We're open from 5 to 8 o'clock tonight.
Edible art?
Thank you. Yes, cookies and cakes and all kinds of good things to eat.
Okay, the right kind of artwork for the stomach. Thanks for that, yes. Ellen. Appreciate it. Let's go to Scott at the Schneider Museum in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on our First Friday Art segment.
Thank you. Good morning, Jeffrey. The Schneider Museum of Art will be extending its hours till 8 p.m., and we will have a trolley available yet again, shuttling art goers back and forth from the museum to the downtown area. The trolley will run from 5 p.m. till 10 p.m., a generous amount of time, and public parking will be made available at 4 p.m. behind the museum at the yellow university parking signs, so no downtown parking hassle. Take a look at our museum exhibitions, student studios, galleries, and performances. Bruce Baird and Todd Barton of Control Voltage Therapy will perform within the museum from 6 to 7. We hope to see you all there.
All right. Sounds like a lot going on at the Schneider Museum at the southern end of the Southern Oregon University campus in Ashland. Thanks, Scott.
Thank you, Jeff.
Let's go to Kat Gold. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on First Friday Arts.
Oh, good morning, Jeff. I just wanted to let you know that our performance improv group On the Fly is performing tonight and tomorrow night. Tonight is at 8 p.m. at the Medford Library, and tomorrow night is 7 p.m., is a more family-friendly show at the Haverat in Ashland.
Okay, so Haverat in Ashland tomorrow and the Medford Library tonight. So what kind of improv work when you talk about having a family-friendly show?
I think that just more reflects content that is more appropriate for younger audiences. We try and keep things a little cleaner.
All right, but generally, what are the themes of what you're doing in your improv?
The themes are generated by the audience, so it's all improvised directly from that, so it's pretty hard to predict what it's going to be. This show is called The Holiday Hot Seat, so we'll be pulling someone up from the audience and interviewing them and getting some material from the interview.
That sounds fun and challenging, too.
Yeah. it's a real blast, and tonight's the first night that we've played in Medford, so we're really excited to bring our show to the Medford audience.
All right, good to hear from you, Kat. So that'll be tonight at 8 o'clock at the Medford Library, tomorrow at 7 o'clock in Ashland at the Haverat Shir Hadash.
That's right.
All right. Good to hear from you. This is our First Friday Art segment on the Jefferson Exchange, our monthly perusal of events going on in the arts world. You can join and add to the list by calling 800-838-3760. Our long-awaiting featured guest is standing by. Kevin Carr will join us in just a couple of minutes with fiddle and pipes and a couple of other things. 800-838-3760 if you want to get in on this party. Let's go to Kylie. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on First Friday.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Sure, and where are you calling from?
We are in Eugene. I'm calling from the Eugene Ballet Company, and the Nutcracker Tour is now in full swing. We've just recently returned from Alaska, and now we will be touring all over the Pacific Northwest. We will be performing the Nutcracker at the Florence Event Center in Florence on December 15th. Then we go up to Salem for December 16th and 17th at the historic Elsinore Theater. We'll land in Eugene for four shows from December 18th to the 20th before finishing in Klamath Falls on December 22nd.
Okay, let's hear some of what we're talking about here. This is some of the most recognizable music in the world. So here's the Waltz of the Flowers from the Nutcracker. And give me the list again, Kylie. You said Florence, December 15th, and after that, what?
Salem, December 16th and 17th. Eugene, December 18th to the 20th, and then Klamath Falls on December 22nd.
Wow, you really do get around, don't you?
I know, 30 shows in 5 weeks.
How does your ballet company keep the Nutcracker fresh, given that it's been out there for so many years now and done often the same way?
We're constantly building new sets. We're constantly working on costumes. We get new dancers in all the time, and so we just tend to really try to refine the performance. We want to keep it as classic as possible because it's a great way to introduce children to classical ballet, but we're always trying to up the game with the scenery, the sets, the costumes, everything else.
All right, sounds great. So the Eugene Ballet performing in Florence December 15th, Salem the 16th and 17th, Eugene the 18th through the 20th, and Klamath Falls on the 22nd. Kylie, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Good to have you. Let us go to Valerie at the Oregon Cabaret Theater on our First Friday Arts segment. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me. Currently at the Oregon Cabaret Theater, we are presenting a new version of A Christmas Carol. and that plays through December 31st. We're actually selling out so much on those tickets that we ask that people actually call the box office instead of go online, because tickets are hard to get. So jump on that if you haven't gotten your tickets yet. And then we're going to do a special holiday late night cabaret for more for the adult fair called Naughty But Nice. And it's going to be on December the 18th, the 22nd, and 23rd at 10:30 p.m. And there's food and drink and lots of laughs. So that should be fun. You can get tickets at 541-488-2902. And those late night tickets are only $10 pre-sale. So jump on those as well.
Are you using some of the same players from the Christmas Carol show to do Naughty But Nice?
We are. There are some cast members. There's also some special guest stars that we're bringing in. And as well, I'll be jumping up there and singing myself.
All right. Sounds like a lot of fun. So I was hoping we'd get a second Scrooge in here, because I did say we're going to have a Scrooge or two, and you're the second Scrooge by all means.
All right.
So
yay.
Christmas Carol running until, what's the final date of Christmas Carol?
December 31st.
December 31st. Okay. Good to hear from Valerie at the Oregon Cabaret Theater. Keep the calls coming into our First Friday Arts segment. We want to turn now to our featured guest, Kevin Carr, who is a musician. He's a storyteller. He's brought in pipes. He's brought in a fiddle. Kevin, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. You work on so many different kinds of music. I'm just having a hard time figuring out how to categorize. It's folk music, certainly, but it's not all northern. It's not all rural necessarily. How would you categorize yourself?
Well, I used to say that it was just traditional music, because what drew me to it was that it was music with deep roots, ancient music. Except for the last few years, I've been playing with this wonderful band called Wake the Dead that does Grateful Dead music, Irish style. So, but I sit in the corner and play bagpipes, so I think it still counts.
Can anyone actually sit in a corner and play bagpipes and not be noticed?
With six other musicians, we're pretty evenly balanced.
Mm-hmm. So tell us a bit about yourself. I mean, you're living in the Applegate Valley these days, right?
Mm-hmm. Been there since 2006.
Okay. And an array of instruments just in this room. I see two fiddles. You've got the Ilion pipes, the Irish version of the bagpipes here. Mm-hmm. But apparently you also play banjo and guitar. Is there any instrument you don't play? Let's leave it at that.
I don't play piano.
Really?
That's my wife's instrument.
Huh.
We've divvied everything up. And she used to play hammered dulcimer. I never touched that one either, so...
So this is such a smorgasbord of not just the instruments but musical types as well. You're quite omnivorous, it seems.
Yeah, but I started out and it seemed like it was just to do the next thing, and it was all I just would hear a voice and I said, I need to make that sound, and so one thing led to another. The bagpipes was sort of the main thing, banjo and fiddle. That was sort of obvious once I got interested in traditional dance music. I played for dancing, square dancing and contra dancing for maybe, 35 years. And so that's fiddle and banjo there.
Okay. Before we get too far down the line, I want to let people know you do have a gig this weekend. You'll be playing with, is it Rogue World Music?
Well, Rogue World Music is sponsoring this gig. They want to tell you a little bit about them, but it's with Pat O'Scannell and my wife, Josie Mendelson. We'll be playing tomorrow night, Saturday, the 5th, at 7 p.m. at Pascal Winery. And what we're doing is music. It's going to be a little taste of solstice music from a bunch of different cultures. Ireland, Galicia in Spain, Italy. We'll be playing the great Italian zampogna, the Italian bagpipes, little street music, which they always play. The shepherds would come down from the hills and play at holiday season. So, and then... what is some Appalachian music and a bunch of different things.
I want to let our listeners know we're expanding the First Friday Arts segment this month. There's just so much going on in December and January, so we will extend and take a few more calls in a couple of minutes. We are coming up to a break pretty soon, though, and I'll take the calls after that. Now, you have another instrument here sitting on the table that's small enough to be almost pocket size. What is this contraption here?
So this is, I got interested in this because, I got interested in the history of bagpipes.
Mm-hmm.
And what we first had in the world were shepherd's pipes. It would be a little piece of cane with holes in it. And then throughout the ancient world, this developed into this just great panoply of mouth-blown pipes. It was ubiquitous in the ancient world, from Greece, the Near East, everywhere, North Africa, everywhere. As a matter of fact, in Rome, you couldn't have a civic or religious ceremony without playing pipes. And these pipes were all played with circular breathing. It was the origin of the whole idea. And there's a wonderful story about how that happened. But you'll hear a little...
Sure, it looks like an animal horn with a pistol grip almost.
Exactly. And this kind of an instrument was played all over the world. This particular one is from the Basque country, and it's called an alboka. which has nothing to do with any Spanish interpretation of that word. It has more to do with an old Arabic word for goat.
Okay, because boca does mean mouth. That was a good catch. Yeah.
Exactly, exactly. Alboka, A-L-B-O-K-A. So this is played with circular breathing. So I'm going to aim a little way. It's a little bit loud.
The Alboka, played by Kevin Carr here on the Jefferson Exchange on our first Friday art segment. Kevin is our featured guest. We can still take calls about arts events in your town after the coming break, 800-838-3760. I noticed that there's Basque, or, you know, actually you're calling it by its own name, Euskadi, which is what they call themselves.
Yeah.
But all over the world, there's just, you just, it never seems like you found a kind of folk music you didn't want to play.
That's true. There's some that I have not taken up because I didn't have time.
Really. It's an amazing list of stuff. We'll come back and talk more with Kevin Carr. Let him give his breathing apparatus a rest because it got a workout just a moment there on the Alboka. We'll come back and talk more and take more of your First Friday Arts phone calls when we return to the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 30. It's 8:36 on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We're still running our First Friday Art segment. It goes a little long in December because there's just so much to talk about with December events. So many different holiday season events in the arts world to talk about. You can still get in on the action with your phone call to 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area. And we also have with us in the studio musician and storyteller Kevin Carr, who has just awakened a lot of people with his use of the Alboka. An instrument from the Basque region of Spain, and he's got other instruments to play as well. We'll come back to him in just a moment. Let's take a call from David. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on our First Friday Arts segment.
Good morning, Jeffrey. This is David Stuart Bull calling from Eugene.
Hi.
And hi. And we're doing our 31st Celtic holiday, which includes Charles Christmas in Wales by Dylan Thomas, and Celtic instrumental and vocals by Linda Danielson, Chico Schwal. And we'll be doing 8 performances, 5 matinee performances, and 3 evening performances.
Where and when?
Okay. The performance will be at Cafe Soraya, which is 384 West 13th Avenue in Eugene. And the dates are 3 p.m. Friday and Saturday, December the 11th, 12th, 18th, 19th, and December the 24th, Christmas Eve, and evening shows at 9:30, Monday through Wednesday, December 21, 22, 23.
Okay, so Child's Christmas in Wales with music as well at Cafe Soraya. That's 384 West 13th Avenue, you said?
That's correct.
All right, thanks for calling. Good to hear from you, David.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas to you. And so let's come back to Kevin Carr. We've been trying to establish, trying to narrow you down a little bit, but you're so broad in your interest in folk music and the number of instruments you play. Let's talk about your formation here. Did you grow up in a musical household?
You know, I didn't. My dad was a television writer and actually never sang except when he was a teenager, he started doing imitations. So he would occasionally in the morning put on things like Oklahoma or big musicals and imitate the singers. And so we would wake up to my dad bellowing in someone else's voice. this, but he would never sing in his own voice. So, and my grandfather was a storyteller. Neighbors would come in on a Sunday, and he would he'd grown up in a little Irish town in Pennsylvania, and he would tell stories. So that was my introduction to that part of the world.
It sounds like your parents had decidedly mixed feelings about your instrument and genre choices along the way.
Absolutely. Oh, especially my dad. He'd say, because I used to, when I started playing guitar, before I went to Ireland and was kidnapped by the fairies, I played guitar, and I just loved to play like John Fahey, you know, and basically improvise. And my dad begged me to learn a song that had a beginning and a middle and an end.
Kidnapped by fairies? That needs a little further explanation.
it's a long story. The short version is that I went to Ireland in search of roots and in my early 20s, and by a strange series of events, ended up camping in the west of Ireland on this one particular strand beach, they call it the Rosses, and my car didn't start, and I knew nothing. I knew had one name in that part of Ireland, which I wasn't about to go and impose upon these folks anyway, but I was stuck. So I went, they welcomed me as though they were expecting me. That night, I said, I've got to get a mechanic and fix my car. No. That night, they took me to one famous Irish fiddle player's cottage. We spent that night. The next night, so it was a week before I went back, got my car, by which time I was lost. My whole direction of my life had changed towards music. Well, a year later, I was home reading a book. It's called The Fairy Faith in Celtic Countries, and it's not fairy tales. It's was collected by the first man to translate the Tibetan Book of the Dead. In the 30s, this guy named Evans Wentz. Well, his graduate thesis at Stanford University, when Stanford was still interested in the occult, was to write this collection of firsthand accounts of people's experiences with the other world, the fairies and that. And it's a wonderful book. You can still find it in reprint. And I got to the section on fairy music, and the hair stood up in the back of my head, because the place in Ireland most famous for the experience of fairy music was the beach where my car stopped. Oh, and I neglected the part that when I finally got a mechanic and went back, I turned the key. It ran perfectly for another month that I was still in Ireland.
Nothing was wrong with the car.
Nothing was wrong with the car.
It just wanted you to stop at the fairy beach.
That was it. Or there were his influences.
That's amazing. All right, so you've got other instruments here. Yeah. What else can we do here, and what kind of trouble can we get into?
Since we're talking about Ireland, well, I'll start now. Just play a little fiddle tune.
Okay. We'll let Kevin go off and get his fiddle. This is Kevin Carr, who's our featured guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He plays with a number of groups, including Wake the Dead, which does Grateful Dead Celtic jam music, Hillbillies from Mars, La Tête de Violon, Winter's Carol, Vertigaio, and the Family Car, among others, and he'll be playing tomorrow night with a group of musicians with Pat O'Scannell, as you said, at the Pascal Winery at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, that's true. And that'll be under the auspices of the Rogue World Ensemble, which I did want to mention, if it's okay. that is a local nonprofit organization that sponsors world music in wonderful ways. They have a chorus. They have a children's chorus. They sponsor concerts. And as a matter of fact, tonight they're going to be doing caroling at 6 p.m. on the plaza, part of the First Friday thing.
Okay.
But they really should check them out at rogueworldmusic.org.
Okay.
Great thing. So okay. Here's a little tune, since I mentioned Ireland. We'll play the Fox Hunter. Thank you.
Yeehaw.
The Fox Hunter by Kevin Carr here in our First Friday Art segment here on the Jefferson Exchange. Kevin Carr is our featured guest on this segment. We do have a chance to take some more calls from folks who want to let us know about arts events in your part of the world. And we have another call from Ray in the Green Springs. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on First Friday.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
Hear Kevin's music coming over to Jefferson Exchange. Just want to let you know Rainey and the Rattlesnakes will be playing Sunday at the Headwaters Building, 84 4th Street. In Ashland, at 3 o'clock, playing for the social hour of the Soda Mountain Wilderness Council's annual meeting. So that's a chance for people to come and hear about expansion of the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument. But Rainey and the Rattlesnakes will play music from 3 to 4 o'clock.
Okay, that's Rainey and the Rattlesnakes. And what kind of music is it?
It's bluegrass based, and a lot of original tunes.
Okay, sounds good. Rainy and the Rattlesnakes then on Sunday at 3, you said, at the Headwaters Building in Ashland?
Yep.
Okay, with environmental issues on the board as well as music. Thanks for the call, Ray. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right, so back to Kevin Carr here in the studio. It's always fun to watch somebody get into the Illan pipes. These are the Irish bagpipes, so there's no actual blow that you do into it. It's all done with bellows, and you really have to put these on, don't you?
You strap them on, as they say, and then blow them up.
And it looks like you've actually used some garden hose fittings here to put the air parts together.
You know, I had this, when I got these pipes, I was somewhat slimmer. And I had a few times a wonderful experience of being in front of a large audience and having the whole thing just pop apart while I was doing this. So I decided to take matters in my own hands and go to the hardware store and fix things up.
You're a handy man with your instruments. That's great. So the Illan pipes, again, no actual blowing into it like the Scottish pipes, but the same sort of thing where you get a bag of air under your arm, actually in this case two arms, and just continue to do the chant with one and play the melody with the other?
Well, it's a complicated old device. There is a bellows under one arm, which is, people ask if this is a modern invention, and it is modern if you consider 1600 to be modern. So there's a bellows which fills the bag, and the bag is what controls the pressure on the reeds. And in this one, there are 7 reeds. The Alboca, for instance, had 2 reeds. I just wanted to mention that what was happening in the Alboca, I was blowing out my cheeks, breathing through my nostrils, and squeezing the cheeks. So my cheeks became the sort of bag.
Well, and the same kind of thing you squeeze under your arm.
Exactly.
You're playing,
exactly the same. And in fact, that's what predated. There was a great story about the it's actually the continuation of the Midas story, at the end of which they talk about the invention of this pipe, the mouth-blown pipe. And it was the goddess Diana who heard pipes and made herself a set. But then she was being laughed at, so she discovered that when she played them, she had cheeks like Dizzy Gillespie.
Uh-huh.
And this was terrible, so she threw it down. It was taken up by a satyr named Marsyas, who got so good at it, because they were a goddess's pipes, of course, that he challenged Apollo to a contest, which he only lost because Apollo said, well, can you play and sing at the same time, which he couldn't do. And so in those days, the penalty was very stiff. They took his skin and hung it up on a tree. And later, Apollo was musing that if he'd only figured out to get a skin and stuck it on the pipes, then he could have played and sung at the same time.
Oh, boy.
This is a story that I thought I made up, and then I was talking to a Greek pipe maker from the island of Santorini who told me that story and said, that is the origin of the pipes. You didn't make it up. So.
Wow, that's amazing. So what are you going to play with these?
So so what I thought was, that's the most primitive pipes. These are the most complicated. I'll just see if I can put a little slow air maybe in a jig, a little bit of a jig.
Okay. Kevin Carr, a featured guest on this First Friday Arts on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm always amazed by the number. I mean, and the variety of sounds you can get out of those things.
Yeah, they really do have seven. There's people can't see them. There's the bellows under one arm, the bag under the other. It sits across my lap. And the chanter was invented as a joke in around 1700. No, it was. It came from a much larger instrument that had was related to the Scottish bagpipes. I don't know if the listeners all understand that 300 years ago, every country, not only even every country, every valley in Europe had its own distinct type of bagpipe, and they ranged from tiny, sweet, to loud, giant, every place. And so with the Enlightenment, the aristocracy got this great interest in the pastoral sorts of things, and so they commissioned bagpipe makers to make civilized versions of bagpipes. So they made a civilized version of the Highland pipes in Scotland, and it had a long end. So somebody figured out if they pulled this end off, then they could make little staccato notes, put it on their knee, and go. Stuff like that. So it became a sort of a trick, but then a whole instrument developed around it because they had that. They had the three drones. And then, as I've heard people say, the Irish, being such a clever race, figured they were tapping their feet, they were squeezing the chanter. And by the way, you go your normal nine notes, uh-huh. Close it off, squeeze harder. So you're playing, manipulating that with your fingers, squeezing the drone, squeezing the bags, but you're not doing anything with the back of your wrist. And so they invented these things. They call them regulators. They're three pipes with a reed in each, and they get a simple accompaniment, you know.
Okay, that explains what sounds like the chord organ in there.
That's
yes.
What it was, yeah. So they used to call this the Irish organ, or the another word for it in Gaelic was Blána Miel, the hive of honeyed sound.
Uh-huh. How long did it take? I mean, you've obviously had a lifetime with music, but I mean, how long did it take before you felt proficient at any of the instruments you play, the many instruments you play?
I always like to quote Pablo Casals, who at 90, they said, "You practice a few hours a day. Why do you still practice?" He says, "Because I think I'm making progress." The ones I'm competent at, I believe, are ones I can play for dancing. Mm-hmm. So that would be fiddle, banjo, those sorts of things. Irish bagpipes, Spanish bagpipes. I've been to Galicia and Spain a few times to study over there. French bagpipes, because I hang out with French bagpipers. Repertoires are, you know, various sizes. I have a lot of Irish pipe repertoire and a lot of Spanish pipe repertoire and less French. And then the other ones, for instance, I only play a couple tunes on the Zampogna, mm-hmm. The Italian pipe. So.
Wow, everybody's got pipes. You have a day job too, apparently, yes?
A little bit of counseling practice. Mm-hmm. It's something I learned for years. I decided I would be retired, and then I realized the feeling you get from being with people in that, you know, when we're really wrestling with the problems of life is very similar to playing music. You get into a certain zone, and it's pretty gratifying, so I couldn't quite give it up entirely.
I had to stay on it. Okay, well, the music part is certainly a big benefit to everybody who hears it. So tomorrow night at the 7 o'clock at the Pascal Winery with Pat O'Scannell as part of Rogue World Music.
It is too. Can I mention one more little quick thing?
Sure.
I have this little series called the Roots Listening Room. Mm-hmm. And what it is as I've traveled around, I meet musicians. And a lot of times they'll say, "Hey, can you set up a gig in Ashland?" And they may be world-famous musicians, but they don't necessarily have a big name recognition. So I will often do this at the Headwaters, where Ray Miyake was talking about. It's a nice, beautiful little room. It's a great room for listening acoustically to music. And we've had unbelievable world-class musicians. And I think if folks are interested in being on my mailing list, they'll probably get there through the Rogue World Ensemble and find my mailing list. Because the Rogue World Ensemble is sort of my godmother for this whole thing, as they are for many world music events in the Valley.
Okay, Kevin Carr, very generous and very patient. Thanks for joining us on our first Friday Art segment this week on the Jefferson Exchange.